Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Again, it's good to be with you this morning. Appreciate each one of you being here, and we want to welcome those of you who are worshiping with us online through our live streaming. We appreciate you being with us today. We are looking at last things. Before we get to our lesson this morning, though, let me remind you that immediately after our service this morning, we're having a fellowship meal, and we have invited the folks over at the Petersburg congregation to join us. So just encourage everyone to stay for that and to share that time of fellowship together, all right? So we started out with six opportunities, the last opportunities that I have to share things with you. We are now down to three. The next three Sundays, the 18th being the last Sunday that I will be speaking to you here. Our calendar of events, you see that the closing of our house is still set for the 15th. We are not able to get that changed. So Cindy and I will be leaving on the 14th to go down there because our closing is something like 9 something in the morning on Thursday. So we're going to go down there for that. And we'll be back either Friday or Saturday, and we'll be here for the 18th on that. So our loading day is the 28th. I ask you to pray for good weather that day, that we don't have any hurricanes coming through where we have to deal with rain. But just ask you to keep that in mind. And then the 29th, we are planning to pull out. All right? So what is this all about? Six of the most important things that I can say to you. Six of the most important things that are on my heart that I want to make sure I share with you before we leave. These things are not anything really new. They're not things that you've never heard before, but they are the things that I believe are some of the most important things, and I want to impress them upon you the most. So that's why we're doing this. And this is all about preparing us for the day of the Lord. He is coming back. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. We need to be ready, and more than anything, though Cindy and I will be leaving, physically we're leaving from this place. Hopefully we'll see some of you again. We may be back. Who knows? But the very least, I want to see all of you in heaven.
Amen.
Okay? That's what this is all about. So, this morning, one of those most important things that I can impress upon you is don't look back. Okay? Don't look back. That's the main message this morning. We're going to talk, first of all, about burning boats. Okay? Hernando Cortez landed in what is now present-day Mexico in 1519 with about 600 soldiers. And their intent was to conquer Mexico. And Cortez gave the order when they landed for the soldiers to burn their ships. And the reason that he did that would be that they had no way to retreat. Okay? They were either going to conquer that land or they were going to die trying, but there would be no retreat. Now, there's another concept that we oftentimes talk about that is very similar to this idea, and that is that of burning bridges. Okay? Now, you've probably heard this that saying, or maybe you've said it or had it said to you, where someone say, don't burn all your bridges, okay? That meaning has to do with the idea that says, well, somebody is very unpleasantly and permanently ending relationships with another person, organization. Maybe it's work or what have you. So we say, don't burn all your bridges. You know, you may need to go back there or what have you. So that's one aspect of burning our bridges. The other aspect of it is to cut off the way upon which you came from, making it impossible to return or retreat. Okay? And that sometimes we need to burn bridges to stop ourselves from crossing them again. there are some bridges that we really need to burn, and certainly some that we never need to want to or desire to go back and cross again. Excuse me, my voice has been giving me some hassle this morning. So we need to burn our bridges. And what that means for us this morning is to commit completely to your definite purpose. And in this case, our definite purpose is salvation. Right? So we want to burn our bridges as we go and not look back or not attempt to turn around and go back. As Christians, we need to burn our ships and our bridges so we have no opportunity to turn around and go back. Okay? There is then no way, when you burn the bridges, you burn the ships, to return to our old way of life. Okay? The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, said it this way: "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So, you see, this idea of burning our ships or burning our bridges is to realize what we were, we can never go back to. And we should never have the desire to go back to what we were. We've taken off that old self and put on a new self that is created to be in the image of Christ Jesus. He goes on to say in Colossians, "Do not lie to each other, since you have," look at it again, "taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." So we take off the old and we put on the new, never to put the old back on again. Okay, are you hearing me? Don't ever want to go back to the way that it was. All right? The second thing that I want you to keep in mind about this idea is to remember Lot's wife. Okay? If you go over to the book of Genesis in chapter 18, we find the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what we find happening there is that Abraham pleaded with God for both of those cities. Mm-hmm. And so that discussion, it's really kind of interesting when you go through and you read it, because it starts out, once God tells Abraham what he's going to do, where Abraham says to him, "What if there should be 50 innocent within the city? Will you then wipe out the place but not forgive it for the sake of the innocent 50 who are in it?" Now, my understanding is that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were huge cities that had a huge population. But Abraham is pleading for those two cities based on, if there's 50, just 50 righteous people, and God agrees. Okay? "If there's 50, I won't destroy it." And then as you continue reading on, Abraham says, "Well, can we talk about this a little bit?" I'm ad-libbing here, okay? "Can we talk about this a little bit more?" And he says, "What if there's 5 less? Will you destroy the cities for the sake of 5? And God says, "I will not destroy the cities, for if there's 45 righteous people." And Abraham goes on a little bit further and he says, "What if there's only 40? And it keeps going down and to 30 and then to 20. And finally, Abraham says to him, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" And he answered, the Lord answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." Well, the angels went to the city, and they found Lot, and they told him he needed to get out of the city. They were going to destroy the city. And it's interesting because here's what the text says. At dawn, the angels hurried Lot along, saying, get going. Now count them here, okay? Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or else you will be destroyed when the city is judged. So there wasn't 50, there wasn't 45, there wasn't 20, there wasn't 10. There were only four. Now, in the text, it tells us that Lot pleaded with his sons-in-laws, that is, those two who were pledged to be married to his two daughters, and they made fun of him. They mocked him.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would have gone along, there would have been six. Okay? But there were only four. Okay? Only four out of both of those cities. And so they're warned. And here is the warning. When they brought them outside, one said, flee for your life, and look at this, do not look behind you. Some of your translations say, do not turn back, nor stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the hills, lest you be swept away. So there's the warning. Do not look behind you. Do not look back. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah. From the Lord out of the heavens it came. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. She looked back. She was warned. Don't look back. But she did. We need to make sure that we don't allow the things of this world to get us, you know, really looking back and longing for, because that's what that idea is really all about, okay? Looking back indicates a longing for what we left, and that's what happened with Lot's wife. Fleeing from the city, knowing it's going to be destroyed, but turns around and looks back in this longing for what she left. It has with it a desire to keep what we had before, where we don't want to let go of those things. It's also, I think, this idea, where sometimes we want the best of both worlds. See? I mean, let's be honest. It's sometimes it's a matter of, yes, we want to go to heaven, but as the song says, nobody wants to go right now. Because we enjoy this world too much. You see? And so we want to hold on to this world as long as we can, but all the time saying, yeah, I want to go to heaven. And so the temptation is sometimes for us to look back. Look at what we have in this world. The warning is, don't look back. Jesus in Luke chapter 17, in discussing what's going to happen in the last days, okay, says this, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, okay? You know how I feel about stuff, right? And here Jesus is talking about having his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him not return back. In other words, don't let the stuff that you have, don't let the things of this world cause you to look back and to go back where you lose your salvation. Don't look back. Jesus, as he goes on, brings up and reminds them of Lot's wife. And he says, remember Lot's wife. And he takes his audience back to that event we just talked about and reminds them, whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it or save it. So remember Lot's wife and don't look back.
Amen.
All right? The writer of Hebrews, as we've been studying in our Sunday morning Bible class, warned his audience not to go back. The problem, as we've been discussing, is that many of them were getting frustrated in their life as Christians and having a temptation to go back to Judaism. So as we've been seeing, he's been warning them and showing them how much better things are under Christ than they were under the law. And so he has this to say: the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs, that is, of the high priest, as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises. You remember us studying that? Isaiah? It is much better under Christ. Don't long to go back. Okay? He goes on to say in chapter 10, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. All right? Now, look at what he continues on to say here. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. You see, he's coming back. Okay? He's coming back.
Yeah.
But my righteous one will live by faith. And look at this. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him.
Oh, boy.
Okay? If he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. So, you see, shrinking back is the same thing as looking back, okay?
Yeah.
And if you want to be saved, you allow your faith to remain intact, you don't shrink back, you don't look back, you don't long for what you had before. Okay? And then finally, let's talk about plowing. Keep plowing. That's this part of the message, okay? In the text that Holloway read for us, we look at what Jesus has to say about what it costs to follow him. Okay? So as they're walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, that sounds like a pretty bold statement, doesn't it? You know, not really concerned about where it's going to take me. I'm willing to follow you anywhere you go. Now, Matthew, in his text, indicates to us that it was a scribe who said this. And some indications are that perhaps maybe this man was, you know, he'd seen some of the miracles that Jesus had done. He'd heard him speak. And so he might have been possibly thinking about all the benefits that he would get if he were to follow Jesus. And that's perhaps why, Jesus knowing what was in his heart, that's why Jesus said to him, whoops, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In other words, if you're looking for, you know, riches and you're looking for a good time, you're looking for all kinds of benefits, you're not going to find them following me. Because I don't even have a place to lay my head now. Then he said to another one, follow me, follow me. Lord, he said, first let me go and bury my father. But he told him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of the kingdom of God. Now, you know, when you read that, it sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? That here, you know, the man's father has died and all he wants to do is go and bury him. And Jesus said, no, you don't need to bury him. Well, what's really going on here? And again, realizing that Jesus knows people. It may very well be that Jesus knows that, you know, our tendency, especially when we're in the midst of grief, that can draw us away from him. You see? And all of the distractions and the preparations that need to be made for burying someone, and so forth, that Jesus is really warning him, saying, if you go, you're not likely to come back. And then another one says, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to those at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So you see, there it is again. Don't look back. You know, here's a situation likely where, again, you go back and you're going to tell all your friends and all your family, hey, I'm getting ready to embark on this mission. I'm going off with Jesus. And there's likely some of them would say, are you crazy? I mean, he doesn't even have a place to lay his head. And you're going to go and hang out with him? You're going to follow him? What are you thinking? In other words, they might discourage that person from following Jesus. Mm-hmm. So he wouldn't come back. And that's why Jesus, in this statement, says, anyone who looks back, you take up the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. There is no looking back. You know what looking back does if you're trying to plow? It causes crooked roads, okay? All right? You end up with roads that are kind of all like this because you're looking this way when you should be looking this way. All right? And that's true with a lot of things in life, isn't it? Sometimes we're looking in the wrong direction. We need to make sure that we're looking ahead and not backwards. The Apostle Paul would say it this way in Philippians, forget what is back there. Okay? He says concerning his salvation, his relationship with Christ, and what he's given up, he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We need to forget what is behind. Okay? And we need to press on forward. Forget the sin that is behind, that Satan wants to keep bringing back up in front of you to hold you in bondage to him. Forget that. It's past. Forget all the other things that have gone on, all the stuff, and focus on the goal and where you are going. See? Because that's the wrong direction to be going in. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. The message this morning is, don't look back. I want you to remember that. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult, remember, if you burn the ships, you can't retreat. Okay? And I want you to think about that and remember that. When you get discouraged, when your faith is being tested by Satan, and he will test your faith, he will try you, okay? Don't look back. Look forward. Okay? That's the message I want you to hear this morning. As we sing this song, the opportunity for anyone, if you have a need, a prayer request that you would like us to address, it's an opportunity for you to let us know that. If there's anyone that is worshiping with us this morning online that is not yet a Christian, if you desire to become one, then you can do that as soon as is possible with you. Today, if we can work that out with you. All you got to do is call us and let us know, or text us and let us know. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, then call upon him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And we have water that's ready right here. All you got to do is let us know. The opportunity is available for anyone. If you have a need or have a prayer request, let us know while we stand and sing. Tom, come on up.